It is Wednesday, September 9th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is Paul Oberjergi, sports editor of The National. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Happy to be here, as always.
Well, since we last spoke, folks, the UAE have played three times with decidedly mixed results. On August 28th, Myanmar came to town for a friendly behind closed doors, so we don't know too much about that, but we do know the UAE won 1-0. And then on September 3rd, in their latest World Cup qualifier, UAE went and won 10-0 over Malaysia, which no doubt you folks have heard about that. And then just yesterday, the UAE traveled to Palestine for a historic occasion playing in Al Ram. Palestine's first World Cup qualifier, the first competitive match at home since they played, I believe, Thailand in the qualifiers for 2014, and Palestine and the UAE drew 0-0. So the UAE are second in Group A with 7 points, two behind Saudi Arabia and three ahead of Palestine. Now, unbeaten after three games, with no goals conceded and two away qualifiers in the bag is hardly a bad place to be, but it's worth asking where the UAE sits overall. Paul, should the UAE be concerned being in second place and they still have to play Saudi Arabia twice?
I think absolutely. It's a scary situation, especially since we had such high hopes for this group. And they still could come through, but the draw with Palestine yesterday should be seen as losing 2 points. And with Saudi out ahead of them, having defeated Palestine in their one match so far, they have to at least start looking at who's in second place in the other five groups, or however many it is. I've lost track, but it's the other seven groups because there's eight. The reality is, and people tend to forget this, the top two don't go forward. The winners go forward, and four of the second place teams go forward, and four do not. So now you're in that situation where you need to look at who's in second. And who's piling up points? Who's ahead of you? The 10-0 was good for the tiebreaker situation, if it comes to that. But it looks like it may be difficult for the Emiratis to finish first. And once you're in that second place situation, things can get complicated.
Mm. And it should be noted that the October 8th qualifier in Jeddah, if the UAE lose that, that's going to be a 5-point gap they have to make up in four matches. And as Paul said, only the group winners are guaranteed a spot in the next round. Obviously, the top two in each group go through to the 2019 Asian Cup, but as the UAE are the hosts, that really wasn't a problem. And it should be noted, in the other Group A match over in Kuala Lumpur, a vastly improved Malaysia just trailed 2-1 to Saudi in the 88th minute before the home fans started setting off flares and fireworks, leading the match to be suspended. Apparently, they're still venting their anger toward the Malaysian FA and the national team's performance against the UAE in what was a record loss for them. The game was suspended. The Saudis will eventually receive the 3 points and go top of the group. It's just a question of whether the score will be 2-1 or 3-0 and how severely Malaysia will be punished. So what do we make of Group A? We know the UAE and Saudi are the best in terms of pure talent overall, but Palestine pushed them both to the limit. The UAE at home and then Saudi on Saudi soil, even though it was technically a Palestine home game because the Saudis wouldn't go through the Israeli checkpoints. And the UAE needed a bit of magic from Omar Abdulrahman to beat East Timor again at a neutral site. Malaysia, meanwhile, got rocked by the UAE and Palestine, but drew with East Timor and gave the Saudis all they could handle. It was hard to tell whether that was a new coach bump or whether they just suddenly remembered how to defend. So, Paul, how much of that 10-0 result was Malaysia and how much was the UAE? It seems like the sands are shifting beneath us a little bit in this group.
Clearly, there's a little bit of erratic quality to the two teams that should be on the bottom. Well, they are on the bottom, Malaysia and East Timor. Saudi hammered East Timor. The UAE had to work hard, as you mentioned, to win 1-0 in a neutral venue in Kuala Lumpur. Palestine looks like something that we can count on in the sense that they will be competitive. They are tight in the back. If they decide they don't necessarily mind with a draw, you're going to have trouble breaking them down. I think this comes down to what it's going to come down to is the UAE versus Saudi. Saudi has given Emirati teams trouble just about since the day that the country was formed. But somehow they need to get 4 points from those two matches if they want to win the group. Because I just don't see Saudi losing to any of the other three. So, you know, it's really incumbent for them to get a result out of Jeddah on October 8th.
And as observers of Gulf football, we'll know the Saudis have cottoned on to the one surefire way to throw the UAE off their game: kick Omar Abdulrahman, and they can do that with relish. So yeah, well the qualifying will return in October with the UAE playing at that one game at Saudi, and then they're off for the second match day in October before they've got two in November and then two in March just to stretch things out a little more. Meanwhile, on the home front, the Arabian Gulf League returns for match day two, almost a month after match day one, not coincidentally, with matches on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, we've got Banias v. Dibba, Al Dhafra v. Al Nasser, and Fujairah v. Al Shab. And then Sunday, Sharjah versus Al Jazeera, Al Wada v. Al Shabab, and Al Wasl v. Al Ain. Paul, just get your overall thoughts on that. If anything sticks out to you, I say probably Wada, Shabab, and Wasl Al Ain seem like the pick of the ties, especially considering the action during the Arabian Gulf Cup in the meantime, when Wada, the new entertaining Wada, had to rally to from two goals down to salvage 3-3 draws against Fujairah and Dibba, two teams they probably should be beating considering the talent they have at their disposal.
I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be fun. I think we've got several good matches there. Even Fujairah and Al Shab. Is Fujairah ready to separate themselves very early from the other two or three teams at the bottom? Looks like there's a very good chance that could happen. Sharjah and Jazeera. Jazeera have managed to lose away to just about anybody, as good as they've been most of the time over the past few years. Sharjah in crisis again. Paulo Bonamigo, their coach, usually manages to straighten out whatever it is he has and get them all pointed in the right direction and at least keep things comfortable. They look very shaky. Wada and Shabab, that could be a very good game, especially if Valdivia makes his debut for Wada, and I think he's got to be close to doing that. Wouldn't it all surprise me if he's out there? And that could change things and bring back a player that was considered one of the most entertaining ever to perform in the league. And then Wasl Al Ain, that could go either way, the way that Wasl's been playing. Al Ain's going to have a bunch of players who have just gone 90 minutes in Palestine and expected to bounce back in another hot night.
And as you mentioned Fujairah, obviously they were, if I remember, they were on the receiving end of that 8-0 thumping on the opening night of the league against Al Ahly. But they haven't looked that bad since. So that looked more like they did the previous year, not necessarily challenging for the top half of the table, but certainly a lot more solid than the teams who would probably settle to the bottom quickly. And then just to keep the action fast and furious, on the next week, in the middle of the week, we have the quarterfinal second legs in the Asian Champions League. On Tuesday, Laquia host Al Hilal, needing to make up a 4-1 deficit, and then they have quite the mountain to climb. And then Guangzhou Evergrande, the Chinese super club, they're hosting Kashua Reysol. They're 3-1 up on aggregate and looking pretty good for the semifinals. Wednesday is the day that might throw some intrigue at us. Gamba Osaka hosts Jeonbuk Motors over in Japan. It's 0-0 there, so not exciting, but at least it'll be close. And then, as we mentioned, Al Ahly, they get their home game against Naf Tehran, bringing a 1-0 lead back from playing at the Azadi Stadium. As I mentioned this previously, Naf Tehran still winless in the Iranian league, 3 draws and 1 loss in 4 matches, and they're second bottom in their league, which is surprising to see from a Champions League team. Paul, Al Ahly, they're showing signs that last season might have been a fluke rather than a precipitous drop. Can they finish this off?
They absolutely could, but it will not be easy. I'm really looking forward to this. Anytime that an Emirati team plays a team from Iran, there is a tremendous amount of tension around the match. It may not be crazy to say that if Al Ali can win this match, can finish this off, the team and the coach are going to be pretty much bulletproof for months on end, having reached the semifinals. And no one was quite sure that they were capable of that. They've added Rodrigo Lima to their attack, which has been important. He scored the goal in Tehran. They don't get Musa Sow. They've signed him, but he won't be eligible for this. I think they can win this. I think Naft is their form is not really strong, though they looked very tough and solid and fairly aggressive in what was a very cynical match in Tehran. Mm. I think Ali will have enough to hang on, especially at home.
And the one potential complicating factor there, where Kwon Kyung-won's suspension comes in, because he was sent off during their most recent Arabian Gulf Cup match, and quite a comical sending off too. This isn't a video podcast, unfortunately, so we can't show you. But if you can find the highlights on YouTube, do. It's good for a belly laugh. That'll all play out here pretty shortly. So it's back to the grind here on the domestic front. You have been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Deepthi Unnikrishnan and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NAT Sport UAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.